You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
My loves, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Yancha Nicolette. If you're new here, I'm the host of Manifest Daily. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you're dropping in for the first time, I feel like it's gonna be a good one. Okay, I say that every time, but really, y'all know I just love the guests I'm chatting with. Like, we're having such good conversations, and I feel like today's episode is just not gonna disappoint. Like, it's gonna give what it needs to have gave. You feel me? And for all the OG listeners, hey girl, hey boy, hey, what's poppin', what's good? Welcome back to another episode of Manifest Daily, my loves. Today, I'm excited for us to dive into this guest episode. We're chatting with Ashley of Yoga Magic Podcast. I'm going to do like a little intro for her in a second. I connected with Ashley a couple weeks ago, and ever since then, I have been so excited for her to join me on an episode of Manifest Daily. If y'all follow me on Instagram, you'd have seen that I was on her show a couple weeks ago. And I say a couple weeks ago, meaning I think it was last week, but the way time is moving, y'all, I don't know what the hell's going on. So that's just that. But I'm so excited for this conversation because we dive into astrology, but we dive into like mixing astrology with self-care. So Ashley is an astrologer. She also is a self-care coach. And essentially her approach to self-care is like looking at the natal chart and trying to determine what are the things that are really going to resonate with your soul based on the different placements in your natal chart. Now, y'all are not new to this show, unless you are new. And if you are new, listen up. But like, y'all know it's not just about your sun sign. So I'm a Taurus, but it's not just limited to like, okay, I'm a Taurus, that's it, period. Like, it's that simple. It's so many other signs in your chart, so many other things that can really affect your personality, affect if you vibe with a certain person or not, affect, you know, how you feel about your career, what you're quote unquote destined to do, all of these different things. And so Ashley really takes a holistic look at your birth chart, your natal chart, in order to determine and help you sort of figure out the best self-care practice for you and what's going to really help you shine in this world. So it's a really interesting conversation because we're talking about that. And I shared my natal chart with Ashley beforehand, like before we recorded this episode. So she kind of like talks about some of the placements that I have, gives me some tips. Y'all know I was living for that. So it's such a beautiful episode. And I'm just so excited for y'all to hear like the actual conversation. But my loves, this is another episode with a short intro. We're just going to dive right into the conversation with me and Ashley. Strap in, grab your water, grab your tequila, baby. I was sitting by the pool yesterday with my tequila, ginger beer, jalapeno lime in mixture. If you know, you know, aka follow me on TikTok because I'll be posting some recipes on there. It's not even recipes. It was that one recipe. I don't know why I said recipes pillar. Girl, I posted one video about a cocktail and now I think I'm a mixologist. But anyways, grab your water, your tequila, Casamigos, baby. And let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. My loves, I am so excited to be chatting with Ashley of Yoga Magic Podcast today. We have a beautiful conversation ahead, as they all are, honestly. So Ashley, thank you so much for being here, joining me for today's episode.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes, of course. Okay, so the first question I love to ask all the guests is, of course, the tell me a bit about who you are and what you do question.
Oh my gosh, who doesn't love to talk about themselves, right?
Yes, no, literally.
I'm Ashley. I am a longtime yoga teacher. I am a self-care coach. I'm an astrologer, and I'm the host of the podcast Yoga Magic. And I love to help people navigate self-care practices using the astrological birth chart, what I call cosmic self-care. And then outside of the work that I do, I am a mama to two little girls, soon to be three, like within the next couple of weeks, three little girls.
Amazing. Congrats.
Thank you. And I love doing things like this, talking to people that, you know, want to geek out on spirituality and personal growth, astrology, all the things. So thanks for the opportunity.
Yes, of course, of course. And I just want to do like a shameless plug to the fact that I did an appearance on your podcast episode. So of course, I'm going to link that in the show notes for anyone. You guys should all go listen to it. So I'm going to link the specific episode, but then also just listen to Yoga Magic in general. Okay. Like, it's good stuff. So just putting that out there.
It was a good episode with you. It's airing like today. And it, oh man, I was listening through everything and I have put so many of your suggestions into practice. And I've seen, I mean, some significant shifts. So thank
amazing.
You.
Amazing. Yes. I am so excited to actually like tune into that and like listen back to it. Cause I know, I mean, I was obviously present for the conversation, but it's just different when you listen back to it and you're like, oh wow, like I said that, or you said that, or we had that conversation. Like, it's just good.
Right.
It's good. So we're definitely going to dive into some of the astrology, of course, and then also the self-care bit. But I'm really curious, like, how did you find your way to this work? Because this is very, very specific and niche, which I love. And I've never heard anyone talk about like using astrology to navigate self-care practices before.
Yeah. You know, it was sort of an accident. I had been teaching yoga for 10 years when COVID struck, as many of us sort of pivoted around COVID time. So I'd been teaching in person for 10 years. And when all of a sudden we were at home and everyone was sort of teaching online yoga and doing all these things kind of creatively, I partnered up with a friend of mine, an astrologer friend of mine, to host classes themed around astrology. And I realized, I was like, wow, there is so much to know here as it relates to well-being, wellness practices, self-care, manifestation, all of the things. And I started to formally study astrology and apply it to everything that I was doing. I had just started Yoga Magic and we were talking about self-care and self-discovery. And I really used my birth chart, started studying my birth chart to whittle down all of the things that I was hearing I was supposed to be doing. Like, do you remember at the beginning of the pandemic where everyone at home was like doing all the workouts and like all the cool things?
And baking all the bread.
Gosh.
All the banana bread.
All of the sourdough. I was like, it felt like a lot. And I loved the sentiment that we were, you know, trying new things, but ultimately I felt really overwhelmed. And so the birth chart really gave me this opportunity to get really specific on what works for me. Like, I love a wellness influencer. Give me a morning routine, please. Love that. But it, does that mean that that's best for me? No, it really doesn't. And so by studying the birth chart and then eventually working with friends and family and now clients all over to get really specific on what it is that, you know, makes you you. What does your birth chart tell you about what you can do to fuel yourself, what you can do to understand who you are, how you can motivate yourself? And yeah, it's just kind of taken off and I can't get enough of it now. I've been studying for, well over 2 years. And applying it to all of my coaching, and it has been the best.
That's amazing. And I love that you talk about how your birth chart really is like a mirror to your soul. And we're going to like dive into that a little bit more. But it's so interesting because whenever I feel like I talk about astrology with someone who's not as familiar, like they just know sun sign, right? It's like, are you Taurus? Are you Gemini? Like, are you this? And it, you know, some people like they hear about that and they don't take it seriously because they're like, okay, well, these are just generalizations. Like everyone loves being at home. Like everyone's a little bit stubborn. Like we can't generalize. And it's like, there's so much more to your birth chart than just your sun sign. Like, was that something that when you started to discover how deep you could get with your natal chart, was that something that kind of like shocked you?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's, we can easily stereotype a lot of signs, right? Like we can say, oh, I don't want to date a Gemini, or, you know, this person isn't for me, or for what, or I'm, you know, may even make excuses for ourselves based on one little piece of the chart. Not little, the sun is a big part, but still it's one piece. And so when the first time that I had a reading birth chart, I felt so seen. I was like, oh, I'm like, that makes so much sense. And what's so cool about understanding the birth chart is, yes, the sun sign is critically important. It tells you your essence, your identity. It's who you are in the light, but there's so much more. And every little marker in the chart, every placement has a shadow and it has a light. It allows us to choose. You know, we have that free will. How do we show up? Do we show up? Is that fully developed Cancer sun? That's what I am. Are you like Taurus all the way? Like, yeah. Taurus sun? Like, do you show up in that positive expression of gratitude and presence and groundedness and luxury? Or do we show up in sort of the shadow side, which can be so many different things? And so knowing that and seeing the full spectrum of who you are and how you can work on yourself, it's just so liberating. It's really validating. And it also gives us a lot of empathy for other people to see like, oh, okay, yeah, this is who they are. Not an excuse, but like, I get it.
Yeah. No, that's super helpful. And I feel like it, when I first discovered there was way more to it than just the sun sign, like it helped me to really understand that we are truly complex beings. Like, it's like we want to lump ourselves into these boxes, but there's so much more to it than just, like you said, the sun sign, even though, again, you mentioned that is a huge part of it. So I'm curious, like, about the big three, because that's one that when you first started dive into astrology, I feel like that's like the next thing you get into. It's like, okay, there's sun sign and then there's the big three. So what is the big, or what are the big three rather? And then what do these signs represent on like a soul level?
Yeah. So for people that are starting out in astrology, the big three is the best place to start to understand who you are. And when we're looking at a birth chart, we're looking at a snapshot of the sky the minute that you were born. Astrology is really the study of those celestial bodies and how they impact, they interact with the world that we live on. And what, you know, the minute that you took your first breath, what was happening in the sky, how was it impacting you as you entered this world? So that's what, you know, astrology is. And when you're looking at that birth chart, it gives you again this mirror of who you are pre-conditioning of life, pre-kids, pre-partners, pre-jobs. Like, who is Deandra, and like, what, you know, what is she working with? How can she continue to develop? So the big three are really, really important pieces of the birth chart. The first is the sun. And we talked about that being like what you look up normally in a horoscope. It's very, very important. I don't want to minimize the sun. I think those of us that get really into astrology are sometimes like, oh, the sun doesn't, you know, it's not that important, but it really is. And what it tells us is how we can energize, who we are again in the light. Like when we're stepping into our zone of genius, when we are fully expressed, our sun is who we are. And there's always a flavor of our sun in the things that we do. So understanding your sun is step one. The moon is the next piece. And the moon is, you know, if the sun is who you are in the light, the moon is who you are in the dark. This is your subconscious. This is your dream state. This is your inner child. This is where you feel safe, safe enough to go deeper and figure out, you know, what your, you know, parts of yourselves that you're potentially denying, or, you know, we talk shadow work a lot in manifestation. Like, this is where shadow work kind of lives, is in the moon space. So understanding your moon is step two. And then the third is your rising sign or your ascendant. The rising sign is so interesting because it's the most individual part of the chart. It changes every few minutes. So that's why you need to have a really accurate birth date, time, and location, so we can get that rising sign spot on. And that sets the houses into motions. And I can talk about the houses in a sec, but the ascendant really is how you interact with this world. It's how people perceive you. It's, you know, people will say it's the mask that you wear, but it's really like, how are you interacting with the world around you? Is, you know, are you your rising sign? Not necessarily, but understanding the energy that people pick up on, that you're putting out into the world, how you're connected to the world, can be so helpful and beneficial. So understanding your ascendant, your rising sign is step three. So those are the big three. If you have apps like CoStar, or I love Channi Nicholas's app, it's called Channi, Chani. It's going to pull up all of that information for you really easily, and some other ones as well. You can always look this stuff up for free just to see your big three and just get started there. Learn about who you are in these three major aspects.
Yeah, I really loved learning about my big three when I like first kind of dove into astrology, especially the, what is it called? The like when it's like air, moon, the elements.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the elements of each.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh, I'm like my Taurus is earth, but then I'm Cancer moon and that's water and Aquarius rising. So that's air. And I was like, oh, look at me with all the different the different elements up in the pot, which I love. But another thing I'm curious about, because I feel like whenever I do dive into astrology content, like I follow a couple of different astrologers on Twitter and YouTube, and they really do place a lot of emphasis on the rising sign. I think there's, you know, there's yes, sun, moon, but like they talk a lot about the rising sign. And specifically whenever I'm watching like a horoscope video, they say, look at your rising first or listen to the reading for your rising first. Is that something you subscribe to? And if so, like, why is that? Is it because it's sort of like, again, that way that we're relating to other people in the world?
It's such a good question. And it is a little bit more advanced astrology. And so I want to talk about the houses, because that's something that if you're like, if you're listening to the show, you're probably open to astrology and you're like, let's dive this a little bit more into
this. Let's crack it open.
So what the rising sign is it's in your first house of identity. So that sets all of your other 12 houses into motion. And by looking up your rising sign in a horoscope, in sort of like a generalized horoscope, you're able to get a little bit more personalized with that horoscope, because it's going to tell you where in your life you're being impacted by what's happening in the sky at any given time. So let me say that in a different way, right? You know, at any time, there's something happening in the sky. Like we're approaching a Sagittarius full moon. It's going to be really lovely, right? But everybody is affected by that full moon in a different way. And a way that you can see how does this affect me is by understanding which house Sagittarius is in your chart. So if the planets, they're the players on the stage, like your sun is that bright and shiny essence of who you are, the sign that it's in is the costume that it wears. So your bright and shiny sun wears this grounded, pragmatic, luxurious Taurus costume. The house that it's in is the area of your life where this is played out the most. This is the stage that it's played out. Let me just peek because I've got your chart up. Your Taurus is in the fourth house of foundation, of home life. Okay. So really, like you shine in that sort of luxurious state. I know we talked on my show about how you were finding your apartment and like you love living alone and you love this like, yep, this is it right here. Like you are shining in this safe, beautiful home space that you've created, that you've made really luxurious. So that's where the houses come in. And when someone says to look up your rising sign, that will allow your houses and again, what part of your life is being impacted to be addressed the most, more than just your sun sign. Because your sun, again, is this like, it's a whole month of people versus like every few minutes where the rising sign changes degrees. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense, because I've always gotten a bit confused with like the houses and especially how whatever house a certain sign is in for you, like how that impacts whatever is happening in the sky, whether it be like the full moon or the new moon or a specific retrograde, which we're going to get into because we're in the middle of a huge retrograde right now. But yeah, like the houses, I think that is definitely, again, a more advanced part of astrology, but definitely it seems like a very key part of the entire understanding of astrology. When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert, but I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods. Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop, literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it does take like, for even for me, those first few times, like it took a while for it to actually click. And again, you can definitely still look up your sun sign. It just helps to look up them both and kind of see them together. And if you're someone who just is like wanting to really geek out on this, just study your own chart. Where, you know, what sign falls into what house and like how does that show up for you? Because it's going to be super personalized.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Okay. I want to switch gears a little bit before we kind of mash them all together. And I want to talk about the self-care part because, again, this is like the other half of what you do and how you sort of blend these two together. So before we dive into self-care by astrology or self-care and astrology, what is self-care? Like, how do you define that? And like, why does it matter? Because I know we have our own understanding of like why it matters for us, but like, I want to get your understanding of what this is and why it matters.
Yeah. You're so right. Like, why does this matter? Because we hear so many people talk about self-care and the word self-care, I think, has sort of been watered down a little bit. It's a little buzzy, but ultimately it's so, so important for us to nurture ourselves. And so what I see self-care is any action that you're taking that ultimately brings you to a better version of yourself. And I've heard a number of different guests explain it on my show that way. And I'm always like, yeah, we're aligned. That's totally it. Does it mean that it's like constant bubble baths and, you know, like pedicures and wine? No, because sometimes self-care is really tough. Sometimes it's not fun. It can be challenging. Like setting boundaries is a good example of something that, you know, we really sets us up for success, but is it easy and fun? No, it's not. And so again, aligning what actions you take day to day, practices that you take that bring you to that version of yourself that you ultimately want to be, to that life that you want to have, that's self-care. And why is that important? Because so many of us, especially as women, are told that we should not be doing that, that we should be not, you know, we shouldn't be working on ourselves, or, you know, what we really should be doing is taking care of other people. And I feel this pressure a lot as a mother, you know, all the time. Oh, you're going to go and like spend the day getting some sort of, I don't know, I love to do retreats and like manifestation and meditation, things like that. I'm going to spend a day or a weekend away from my kids on a meditation retreat. You're going to do that? Wow. Like the judgment that we get as women doing these things is really astounding. And I think it's pretty radical of us to prioritize our own needs. And it continues to evolve and change. I think we're changing the narrative. I do think our generation is making this easier for future generations.
Yeah, I completely agree as well. I think I love that definition, by the way, of self-care, because like you said, it encompasses some of the things that are a little harder, because I agree, like whenever you see self-care, at least on social, I tend to see a lot of the very positive and luxurious and sort of indulgent aspects of self-care, which are beautiful. But those moments of like setting boundaries, of like allowing yourself to cry it out and like really nurturing yourself in that very vulnerable moment, like those moments are just as, if not more important, I would say, than some of the like, you know, the bubble baths and the massages. Lord knows I love a good massage, but
oh yeah,
setting boundaries though, like that will get you to change some things in your life. And then also the what you said about us being women too, and just sort of like, like having that label and that identity in this world, and sort of being told that like you are here to nurture, you are here to provide for someone else, to care for, to be a caretaker. And it's like, well, if you're doing all of that, right, expending your energy, giving to others, like what is left for you? And it's so important to remember to come back to yourself and remember that, like, you know, as the cliche saying goes, like you can't pour from an empty cup, like you can't give and give and give and then leave nothing for yourself. Like that's not the vibe.
I have this amazing guest, maybe you've had her on your show as well, I can't remember, her name is Victoria Albina, and she talked about this idea of, you know, this people-pleasing mentality that we have as women, right? And that so much of this, it's just wrapped in our culture. You know, women listening out there, people that identify as women, it's not your fault. You are not doing anything wrong that you're being pressured in this way. But ultimately, we get to change this conversation and take back that agency and prioritize ourselves, even when we have other people to care for, right? Even when we have ailing parents or little children or whatever it is, that's the only way that we're going to make this work. And, you know, that, I guess, not to get on a soapbox or anything, but I just think it's so important. And it's kind of revolutionary. It really is.
It is. It truly is. And that's the other thing too. Like when you're changing the narrative, as you said, it's like, there are going to be those moments of discomfort. Like when you do something, when you decide that you're going to care for yourself and someone's looking at you side eye and they're like, oh, like, you're going to leave your kids at home for the weekend for that? Like, that's what you're choosing to do. It's like, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to lead to those uncomfortable conversations. But like, that is how change is created, right? It's not created in the places where we feel good and comfortable and safe. It's like, it's stepping outside of those comfort zones and those like rules and really pushing the boundaries to like change the rules and change exactly how we all perceive this. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. So let's tie it back in with the astrology, right? We talked about self-care, talked about how the chart has like a ton of different things and there's so much info and nuggets of wisdom. So what are some of the major things that we should look for in our birth chart when it comes to crafting like a custom self-care routine?
Yes. Okay. So you got your birth part pulled up, everyone. You can get it for free online. And the first place to start, we've talked about this before, is the sun, because the sun will tell you where you draw energy. Like, what is your energy source? What fuels you? What really brings you into that light space? So I'm going to use you as an example. DeAndra,
ooh, yes, your sun. Please. Let's go. Let's get into yes.
Your chart. Your sun in Taurus is really energized through nice, tangible, earthly pleasures, okay? And that can be so many things. I think some people like to think like, oh, Taurus just wants to spend a lot of money. I mean, that's fine too. Yes, please. But it's also, you know, getting out in nature and seeing the beauty that is our earth. This is a Venus-ruled sign. So being energized through connecting to the ground, connecting to the earth is step one. Having things that do feel luxurious, like good food. I'll use an example of like, it would be smart of a Taurus to invest just a little bit more and say something that's organic that like really fills them up, nourishes them in a deep way than the conventional side, right? Like go just a little bit bigger, invest in these things, food, comforts, you know, have that comfy robe that you look forward to every single morning when you wake up, and it gets you out of bed to do your morning routine, right? And so energized around this idea of earthly pleasure. And what, you know, we're looking at all the different signs in here. I'll generalize for those that are listening. If you have, you know, your sun and earth sign, there's going to be a deep energizing around nature, being connected to the body, to the physical body. If you are a water sun, you're going to really rejuvenate on those like slower, more sensitive practices, something like restorative yoga, yin yoga, going for a walk, where you're receiving a lot more energy than you are, say, outputting. And then fire, if you're a fire sun, your energy is going to be from moving that body, from ultimately like putting the fire into action. And so maybe that is more of a higher intensity workout, or giving yourself the opportunity to like get out of your comfort zone and express yourself and create. So use that energy in a positive way so you don't have too much. And then air, if you're an air sun, it's a lot about ideas and coming up with new ideas, writing, creating, having the ability to hear new things, read new books, take classes. Like that's wildly energizing all in this sun space. So to generalize, that's your sun. The moon is the second place to look at. And the moon tells you what, you know, how you can navigate your self-study. What if you're someone who's like, I love my workouts in the sun. I love to get that opportunity to move my body, but I have to like do that inner work. The moon is where you're going to look. So your moon's in Cancer, which is kind of amazing. That's a superpower there, because the moon,
oh my God,
Cancer is, or the moon is the ruler of Cancer. So extra potency there. And the moon in Cancer feels really safe, nurturing other people. Yes, but also nurturing oneself. And that's through being really sensitive to what's happening around you, and protecting yourself against that, because anyone that has a good amount of water or like a Cancer moon is going to feel other people's energies. So things like, you know, just doing a little visualization in the morning to allow your energy to be your own. And I don't want to say like push out other things, because we want to be interacting with the world, but just, you know, your own space is your own space. Your energy space is your own. With the moon in a water sign like Cancer, it's being able to like fully process emotions, let them come out, because they're going to be pretty dense. Emotions here are really going to flow. And so something like stream of consciousness writing, where you're just writing and you're just letting it flow in the morning and not judging and not holding back, can be a great self-study practice for someone with water in their moon. I'll speak to the other elements as well. So if you have an earth moon, something, you know, it's accessing those emotions and that safety sometimes takes just a little bit extra digging, because earth is just more grounded, more pragmatic in that moon space. So doing things like, you know, meditation, where you're accessing your subconscious more regularly, even hypnosis, might take a little bit more time, but you will gather a lot of insight from doing that digging, spending some time in self-study. If you have a fire moon, your emotions are going to come through pretty fast and furious. And often when I work with fire moons and they're like, they kind of feel bad about that. They're like, oh, well, I'm just overly emotional. It's like, no, this is just an intuitive hit. When you have emotions come through, trust that. And also be able to process that stress, if it's a stressor, in a way that's productive, right? That you can actually grow through that. There's an amazing book called Burnout by Emily and Amelia Nagoski that kind of addresses this issue. It's like, we can't change the stressors in our life, but we can process the stress in our body. And so someone with a fire moon really benefits from specific practices like like movement, even here too, like processing some emotions through movement or creation or journaling. And then finally, air is really seeking to understand their emotions, their understand what's happening in this safe place. And so taking some time to think and learn and even have conversation with others, like a trusted friend or a therapist, like air moons can really benefit from talking it out and processing in this intellectual way. So that's the sun and the moon. And then the only other piece, I mean, there's lots that I like to look at, but the moon or the Mars is the other piece that I think is really fun for people to look at, because Mars tells you what motivates you. It tells you what are, you know, what actually gets you to do the things. How do you take the action? How do you get on that manifestation practice? How do you get to, you know, actually do the workouts? And so your moon is in Aries, which is awesome because Mars is in Aries. And right now Mars is in Aries, and that's, it feels another at home setup. You have a pretty sweet chart, Deandra. It's very like,
oh my God, shut up.
It's
like,
little, it's just very natural. Let's just say that. So Mars there in Aries is like super motivated to take action. That makes sense for Aries here. And that's like willing to take the first step. Is the first step always super concise and perfect? No. The person that goes first often makes mistakes, and that's okay because someone has to do it. And having your Mars there, you just have this like natural motivation to go and do the things and be a leader. And so, yeah, if anyone is curious about like the style of their Mars, look that up because it can be so interesting to see like what actually gets me to do the things, but also what are my triggers? What is it that kind of makes me needing an additional self-care practice because I'm really, really fired up? So those are the three that I look to.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, thank you, first of all, for that beautiful, beautiful breakdown of those three signs or three areas that we should look at. And I love that. I feel very good that it seems that I'm quite aligned with a self-care practice that makes sense for me. And just even when you were saying the things about the Taurus and like being in my fourth house and home, like this resonates so much. I was actually just telling a friend yesterday, I was like, you know what? Like being in Dallas, I can easily say that like my rent is not necessarily cheap. Like when people think about moving to the South, it's not like I have a cheap place to live in, but I purposely chose to be here because it just feels like home. Like where I'm living, I've chosen to spend a little bit more to feel safe, to feel certain things where I live. And I feel like that has just always been aligned with me. I'm like, if I work from home and I like live at home, like I want to feel good in my space. Like I want to feel safe. I want to feel at peace. I want to feel quiet. Like I just, all these different things. So I love that that's like also super aligned with my chart. One of the things that I'm curious about though is a little bit more of like the Mars sign and manifestation. Cause you mentioned Mars and Mars kind of being that sign that signals like how you are motivated and how you take action, right? So how does our Mars sign or maybe any other sign in our chart affect the way that we create the manifestation routine that's aligned with us for one, and then also the way that we sort of naturally manifest?
I'll answer the second question first, because I think this connection of like self-care and understanding your the challenges and the strengths that you're working with is like the basis of manifestation, right? It's understanding that you have value and that it is absolutely okay for you to invest in yourself, to uphold your value, to take time for yourself so that you know what it feels like to be in your power, to be like in your highest self, and ultimately magnetize more of those things your way. So self-care is step one, I think, in manifestation. It's understanding what it feels like to have the things that you want, to be in pleasure. So as far as Mars, there's a few places to look. I'm gonna list a few in understanding, kind of like knowing this is all a big puzzle in terms of manifestation. Mars is super helpful to see how can I actually take that action, right? Like I've got my list. I know what I want to call in. I know what my shadows are. I know what I'm working with, my strengths and my challenges. But like now what's the style of the action that I'm taking? That's where Mars is going to be super helpful. And then another placement that's super helpful for people in terms of manifestation is Venus, because Venus tells us what we value. It tells us like what is pleasure for us? What does beauty and love, like how does that show up in our life? I think sometimes when I feel misaligned, I'll use an example of like, maybe even like 6 months ago, I had this manifestation that I wanted to build out a team for my show and my work. And I really wanted to have like people, you know, some people doing this and some people doing that and just like this big thing. And ultimately, I had to check myself and look at my Venus and remind myself that ultimately, no, that's not where I'm at right now. I don't value a ton of growth at the moment, mostly because I can't do it. I've got three little kids to deal with. At another time in my life, that will be very important. So like checking yourself, your alignment and your value system can be so helpful when you look at Venus. The final piece, I'm giving everyone lots of information, but it's fun to study your charts.
So. We love all the info though. Yeah.
The final piece is to look at your north node in your birth chart. Your north node is an imaginary point on the moon. And so it really tells you, if you believe in past lives and you believe in this, the purpose for this life, it tells you what is your purpose. Like, what are you working towards in this life? Let's look at yours, Dandrick.
When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert. But I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods. Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop, literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out.
Take action today for a healthier lifestyle with Everly Well. Their at-home lab tests and vitamins and supplements can help you get the knowledge and support you need so you can become a healthier version of you. Everly Well is digital healthcare designed for you at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home lab tests, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you and get the answers you need, like the woman's health test or the food sensitivity test. Everly Well also has high-quality vitamins and supplements to support your overall health. Choose from a variety of options, including vitamin D3 and omega-3 fish oil. Here's how it works. Everly Well ships products straight to you with everything you'll need in one package. To take your at-home lab test, simply collect your sample and use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to a certified lab. Your physician-reviewed results will get sent to your phone or device in just days. And you can share the results with your primary care physician to help you guide the next steps in your treatment plan. If you order vitamins and supplements, you can start adding them to your daily routine right away. It's so simple. Over 1 million people have trusted Everly Well to support their health and wellness goals, and you should too. For listeners of Manifest Daily, Everly Well is offering a special discount discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/manifestdaily. That's everlywell.com/manifestdaily for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/manifestdaily. Thank you again to Everly Well for sponsoring today's podcast episode. I know. I think we talked about this last time and I was like, I couldn't remember if it was in Taurus or Scorpio.
It's in Scorpio and it's so cool to see because it's in your 10th house of career. So your North Node, like part of your purpose is to transform, is I think to communicate and help other people transform. And it happens, it's going to show up the most in your work. Scorpio is one of those signs that really is misunderstood. It's very powerful. It's an amazing manifester because it's willing to go into the harder parts, you know, into the shadow and transmute that. And so this is part of your purpose is really to transform. So again, if you know what your North Node is, you can have that in the back of your mind. It shouldn't dictate all of your manifestations because your North Node is this insatiable hunger that you're always going to be seeking after over in the entire course of your life. We got a lot of life left to live. So this is, you know, again, we might not even be feeling this yet, but it can be, another good checkpoint to see, am I manifesting the things that are really what I want? Is this my truth? Do I really want this thing?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that is interesting. And okay, this is like a very tangential question now, because when you were talking about the North Node in Scorpio, or my North Node rather in Scorpio, it made me think, I had a reading one time and I was told I also have my midheaven in Scorpio.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What is the midheaven? And if anyone's seen that in their chart, like what does that represent? And how does that even play like a part in terms of this conversation when it comes to self-care and manifestation? Or is that like kind of a different thing altogether?
Well, it's something that you can definitely work with as well. We touched on that your Scorpio is in your 10th house of career. Midheaven is another signification of career, of your work, your life's work. And so having that there, and you know what? It's really cool too. It's right by your Jupiter. Jupiter's in Scorpio too. So your luck and abundance is here too. Ooh. You've got all the good things to have. You have a good setup in Scorpio. And so again, it's just another confirmation. I will say, you know, if you are looking at your chart right now and this is not exactly lining up, there are different house systems. So like CoStar uses Placidus, I believe. There's different ways to look at the chart. Is it wrong one way or the other? No, but you'll align with one type of house system versus another. They're just like subtly a little bit different, but it might be confusing if you're looking at a whole sign houses, which I use. That's like what Spirit Daughter uses. That's what Channy Nicholas uses versus like another house system like Placidus or something like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, that is super helpful. I'm going to be diving into my chart today.
Okay. I'm going to send it to you. I'm just looking at it. I'll send you the PDF right now.
Yes, please. Cause I'm super excited to like dive into some of this stuff. And I've always known I have a lot of Scorpio in my chart as well. I always make a joke that I attract a lot of Scorpios, both in like romantic partners and then also friendships. I tend to find my way to the Scorpio folks and definitely tend to like resonate a lot with them too. So I love that. But I'm super curious, like, what do your self-care and manifestation routines look like? And then also, if you could share, like, maybe your big three and then also your Mars as well. So, and your Venus too, for anyone listening to see, like, if they have kind of same placements, like, what are some things that you do?
Okay, yeah, I'll share all my lineup first. So I'm a Cancer sun. So I am a mama bear to the max. I'm energized by nurturing others and ultimately nurturing myself. It's kind of amazing. That's the work that I do. The moon, my moon's in Capricorn, which is the complete opposite. So if you have an opposite sun and moon, you likely were born on a full moon, which a lot of people don't know. If you have the same sign in your sun and your moon, you're likely born on a new moon, or really close to it. Mm-hmm. So my Capricorn moon is very much, it allows me to enjoy work. I feel safe in success. I feel safe in work, but it's also kind of hard on me at times because it's always like on to the next thing. Like you can do better. Here we go. Keep going. My rising sign is Aries. So I'm very I'm very closely connected to Mars and that action, you know, ability to take action, be the first. My Venus is in Leo. This is funny, Deandra. Like, I feel like anyone out there that has Venus in Leo, it's like sort of
It's pretty extra. Leo is an extra sign in a good way. I love Leo energy.
Love Leos. Love Leo. Who doesn't love Leo? One of my best friends, Leo. Yeah. Love the energy. Love the vibes.
In Venus, it shows up like a rom-com. Like, I need big, ridiculous really? Love. Like, I love to read super trashy romance novels. I like to watch rom. Like, I'm a, like, again, like, I'm a Midwest mom of three, and the things that I read, people would, like, have their jaw to the ground because it's, like, it nourishes my Venus and Leo. It, like, makes me feel spicy and allows that to expand. And just things that I value is this like big, really beautiful love. What was the other one? Oh, Mars. My Mars is in Capricorn as well, which is an exalted situation. Just like kind of like yours, Mars in Aries is really awesome. So I'm pretty much a go-getter, which also means that I get sometimes just get kind of hard on myself. So practices that I do, knowing that that's my makeup, is I really take time to nurture myself through meditation in the morning, alone time where I'm not taking care of other people. It's just me. All I have to worry about is myself. And so I love Joe Dispenza's morning meditation. I love I like to get outside in the morning, first thing in the morning, get sunlight into my eyes, set my circadian rhythm into motion. And then some of my moon practices is that I really love some of that Capricorn moon. It takes a little extra work to get and understand what my emotions are telling me. So I really love hypnosis. I don't know if you've done many past life regressions, but my friend Gina is a close friend, and she is so helpful at helping me essentially access my own my own memories or past lives or whatever they are in order to process emotions. Do I do those all the time? No, that's sort of like a deep journey. But other than that, it just helps me to kind of unearth that heavy mountain that is my moon sign. And I love to experiment. I love to experiment for the sake of being able to teach others lots of different practices. It changes all the time. When this babe number three gets here in 2 weeks, will I be able to do my morning routine? Probably not. And that's okay. But I'll find something else and it'll be simple and it'll fill me up because it's so, so important.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned actually allowing your routine to shift and change as you go, because I think that's something where, like, I mean, obviously the word routine suggests that it's not really changing, but I think it is important to like adjust your morning routine, your manifestation routine, your self-care routine whenever you want to try something new or you want to find something new that resonates with you or something no longer resonates. Just like allowing yourself the ability to pivot and shift and change as things go. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah. No shoulding. We don't have to should on ourselves, especially as it relates to self-care.
Exactly. Because then you're going to like make it a whole stressful thing. And it's like literally not supposed to be that.
Right. Right.
So yeah. Okay. Can we talk about the Saturn? What is it? Is it the Saturn return? Or actually, no. I want to talk about a Saturn return. And then we got to talk about Saturn retrograde. That's also happening, right? Is that retrograding? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is a Saturn return? And like, when does that happen? And what is the significance of that in like a individual's chart? First of all, let's start with that one.
Yes. Saturn return is one of those things, kind of like Mercury retrograde, where it's like really buzzy and everybody wants to be afraid of it. And it's like, ooh, Saturn, you're having your Saturn return. And yes, it is. It's not the most pleasant time in your life, but ultimately it's bringing you closer to who you are going to be, who you want to be. So it takes 29 years for Saturn to return to the spot in your chart that it was when you were born. So you have, if you live in a pretty rich long life, you have usually three Saturn returns in your life, which people don't always realize. So likely, depending on, you know, when you're born, you're going to experience this between like 28 and 30. And what's happening and why Saturn is significant is that Saturn is ultimately a planet of restriction, of boundaries, of life lessons, of constraints. And so when we have that first Saturn return around 30, we're coming to terms with the life lessons that we've gathered thus far, right? With what you've experienced as a youth, as someone who is still a child, and you shift into that next stage of life, that next 30 years where you are ultimately an adult. And so for many of us, the Saturn return can feel kind of painful, like coming to terms with our truths, coming to terms that we are no longer children and that we have real constraints and we have real boundaries that we have to uphold as adults, right? Like literally, like adulting is something that like, it's kind of tough. It shows up differently for everyone. Some people that are, you know, really aligned at a young age, maybe they've grown up really fast for whatever reason. It might not be that messy, right? It might not be this like huge moment. For others, it can be something that just feels like a lot. It can feel pretty painful. I can speak to my Saturn return in that it was really when I started practicing yoga at this time, I found, thank goodness, it was like such a godsend. And what I found was that I got really clear on the things that I wanted versus the things that I thought I should be doing, right? It's like, oh, you should be going to grad school right now. You should be pursuing this like lucrative career. And as I was literally in these yoga classes, like thinking to myself, I don't want to do that. That's not my path. And I had to pivot. And did it let some people down? Yeah, it did. And it was kind of painful, but ultimately it course corrected me into where I am now, really, like that, what I actually value. So the second Saturn return, you know, later in life around 60 is not as painful. It's not, I mean, you're definitely like, you're more so applying your adult lessons into this age of maturity. So that first one is kind of the one that people are often like, whew, you know, just be aware. And all you can do, my only advice for this is just like, be really invested in who you are. It's okay if you're not sure about that, who that is yet. But the more that you're connected to yourself and you own that, I think the easier that it will be. As far as the Saturn retrograde goes, we are in a Saturn retrograde. It's not, you know, like Mercury retrograde happens pretty frequently, happens like 3 times a year. We don't like think Mercury retrograde isn't super, it's like annoying, but it's not huge. It's not a huge deal. When Venus or Mars go retrograde, that's a bigger deal. Saturn does go retrograde a good amount as well. And anytime any planet goes retrograde, it gives us allows us an opportunity to essentially like reevaluate, reprocess, see something again. And when Saturn retrogrades, again, Saturn is about restriction and boundaries and rules. It gives us that opportunity to look at those areas of our life. I think this is one of the best areas to see, like, where, let's revisit our blocks. Like, what is it that's literally holding us back from moving forward, for manifestation? How can we just see that? Don't necessarily take action yet, but just see what is holding us back. And then when it does go direct once again, you're able to see that more clear and take a more linear path forward. So they can be, you know, any retrogrades can be kind of frustrating, but they ultimately allow us more clarity on the flip side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that, the description of Saturn return. Also, you letting us know that we have multiple, because I think that's one thing I recently like found out, but people don't really talk about it a lot. It's like you hear about the one that's around your 20, 28, 29, 30 age, but like then I guess people just don't talk about the fact that you, again, if you live a long, healthy life, you will have additional Saturn returns. So right now we are in a period where, like, for those who are, or those who have Saturn in Aquarius, I believe, are going through their Saturn return, and next up is Saturn in Pisces. What's like the significance of the sign? So I know my Saturn is in Pisces, and those of us who have their Saturn in Pisces are going to be hitting their return next spring, I believe. Like, what's the significance of Saturn in Aquarius versus Saturn in Pisces, and how does the return for Saturn in Aquarius differ from the one where your Saturn is in Pisces?
I think something to just make note of is that Saturn isn't a super personal chart or placement in the chart. It's because it takes a while to make its way into another sign, you know, so Saturn is in Aquarius from December 17th of 2020 to March 7th, 2023. So that's a pretty big swath. So is it super individualized to who you are? Not necessarily. We look at those personal planets as such as the sun, the moon, Mars, Venus, even Jupiter a little bit to understand who we are. Saturn isn't one of those where you're like, oh, this is exactly who I am. However, what it can tell us and what's really helpful is to kind of see, like, think of yourself in this like generational group, right? If you are someone who has, but you said your Saturn's in Pisces, that's where like, where dreams and realities are super fluid. There's a good, you guys that were born in this period of time, it's really like, you're pretty good at making dreams come forth and understanding that there are like real life boundaries, but also understanding the magic, because Pisces is wildly magical. So as this Saturn return is coming around, you know, it's a matter of understanding like, what is it that you actually, what are your dreams? Like, how do you make those happen? Doing some exploration, all you Saturn and Pisces, of like your understanding of things that you can't see, of spirituality, all the stuff that you talk about, Deandra, is like, that can be, would be really fun for someone who has a Saturn in Pisces, so to prep for their Saturn return coming up. But I wouldn't spend, if it were me, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time on necessarily like, on the sign. I would more on just really get aligned with who I want to be in the next stage post Saturn return. Like, where am I headed?
Okay. So almost like thinking about, like you said, the person that you want to be, maybe some of the values that you want to have, but then also sort of like what you're calling in terms of what you want to manifest, and like aligning yourself with that is kind of what the Saturn return period is for.
Yeah. Just think of it as like, you're 2.0. You're the next version of yourself, right? And you've stepped into this age where new realities come into play. There's just so much that, you know, you can do so much study and self-exploration, but ultimately the path forward, it's going to play out as it's going to play out. So in the meantime, all you can do is just be really aligned with where you want to go.
I love this. Because yeah, whenever I hear people talk about their Saturn return, it seems like there's a lot of just sort of like these existential crises that come up,
totally,
and these questions of like, exactly what you said, like, who am I? Or is this the career that I actually want to be in? Is this the person that I actually want to be in a relationship with? And sort of really like diving deep into these and making some pretty big life changes if you realize that you are not on the path that you want to be on. So I love that. Definitely a huge period. I'm sitting here and I'm like, as you were talking about thinking about it, I'm like, am I on the path? And I'm like, I think I am.
I think you are too.
Yeah.
Looking at your chart, I think you're rocking it. And you know what? It'll probably be pretty subtle. It'll probably be subtle for you. There's other friends. I had my astrologer friend, her husband, literally like his Saturn was returned as he ended up in jail. Like, he had a moment. He was all right. All worked out in the end. He had an addiction problem, and he made it out so much stronger on the other end, but he needed that sort of chaotic like boundary. He needed this course correction in order to get on the aligned path. For those of us that are already pursuing it, it's not going to be a big thing. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it.
Yeah. I literally do feel like that though. Like whenever I would think about my Saturn return, I'm like, in the last few years, I've made a lot of really big leaps and huge decisions. And I'm like, to be honest with you, I'm like, even if it's jolting and chaotic, I'm like, it cannot jolt me up more than I already have been in the last couple of years. I'm like, whatever it is, I mean, it can't be too crazy. So I'm here. I'm open. I'm here for it. I'm here for the lessons.
There's so much good astrology happening right now too, Deandra. Like this Mars and Aries energy is exciting. And for you, it's, you know, it's impacting your third house of communication. I just see like so much impacting, or wait, yeah, it's in an air. Yep, yeah, it's your third house. So like impacting the growth of your show and the message that you're sending out. I know, totally. So there's just like, we can get fixated on certain things. We can get fixated on what people are telling us is going to be really rough. Mercury retrograde is going to be horrible. You know, your Saturn return is going to be awful. And ultimately, no, we get to choose how this plays out, how we work with the energies that are impacting us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Okay, I'm so happy you said that, because you know we got the new show starting soon, so
I'm excited, yes,
we're here for the Mars and Aries energy. Please continue to give me that motivation.
Yeah, it'll keep flowing.
I'm here for it. I'm so here for it. Oh my gosh. Ashley, this has been such a good conversation. Super, super, super enlightening. I feel like we're going to have to have you come back on the show and like dive even more into like the chart and like what is going on with astrology. But so far today has been absolutely amazing. So thank you so much.
My gosh, my pleasure. I love connecting. And I'm so glad to have had your insight on our show as well. So yeah, let's keep up the collabs.
Let's definitely do it. I would love if you could just like give us like the spiel of where we can find you online, maybe some of the things that you're currently working on. Of course, all the links will be below in the show notes, because I love a good visual. So yeah, but if you can give us a spiel.
Oh, yes. Well, I first, I have an offering for those that are sort of like interested and they want to dip their toe into cosmic self-care. It's called Discover Your Self-Care Style Mini Course. And it's totally free. You can just get an understanding of like where your sun, your moon, your Mars are, what the energies are. So we'll link that up to people that want to check it out. And then you can find me on Instagram. I'm at ashley.sondergaard. The show is at Yoga Magic Podcast. And you can check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Outside of that, I am booking out for September if people want to do some cosmic self-care sessions, do birth chart reading, or even just dive into, again, like what kind of a plan, what should I do for my self-care? I write those up as well. So we'll link all that up. And yeah, any cosmic self-care, let's dive into those charts.
Yes, 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 yes. I love it. Thank you so, so much. Everything again will be linked in the show notes. And yeah, I can't wait for our next conversation.
Me too.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.